Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this night, December 18th, 2022, live from the facilities of Ocelli.com, live every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. We're live on Sundays. And yeah, glad to be back as always. Missed last week. Been very busy. But I'm here and it's glad to be here. The website is theageoftransitions.com. You can find my the podcast. You can find all the ways to support the show. There is a Patreon campaign. Also have my book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. Have other things in the shop at theageoftransitions.com. So check that out. Thank you for doing that. Also, encourage you to donate to Ocelli.com, the Ocelli Radio Network. So thank you for doing that. Appreciate that. Let's see here. So, yes, it's live tonight. So you may call in 319-527-5016, or you can come on the show through Skype. You can get a hold of Chuck. Type him a message. Type a message to charles.ocelli on Skype. Say, hey, I want to come on the show. He'll bring you on. That's Skype, charles.ocelli. Or call 319-527-5016. Tonight, I am live from Landers. I'm testing out my Ethernet connection. Hopefully, it works well. If it does, if all goes well, we will be recording Uncle's New Year's Revolution from Landers. That's what I want to do. The only thing that would stop me from doing it is internet connection. So we're going to test out the Ethernet tonight, see what we can do, see if the signal holds up, see if everything's okay. It's been a little spotty with the Wi-Fi out here. But I've got my little this little peripheral device plugged into my my laptop that allows me to use Ethernet. And it seems like the connection's pretty good. All the stuff I've done online with it so far seems to be going pretty quick. So I think we'll be okay. So again, Uncle's New Year's Revolution is coming up. I mean, today is December 18th. We're talking about December 31st, New Year's Eve. As always, we will be doing the live show again for 8 hours. Should be starting at 8 p.m. Pacific, going to midnight Pacific. That's a 4 hours long show. We hope that you'll call in and join us that night because makes the show better. That's what it's all about. We want to hear what you're doing on New Year's Eve. So just remember, New Year's Eve, call into the Uncle Show. It will be the Uncle's New Year's Revolution once again. We want to know what you're doing New Year's Eve. We want to know what you're up to, how things are going. And, yeah, that is coming up. So that's exciting. Have the live stream of that up at Ocelli Radio Network. We'll have video streams, too. So check it out. Going to be fun. But tonight, we are within the age of transitions, and there has been a lot going on that is noteworthy in the past 2 weeks. It seems like just more of the usual stuff that I speak about on the show over the years. It's a lot of news stories have popped up about some of my favorite topics. So let me see. One of them was in the realm of automation. Here's the link to it right here. I'm checking my Twitter feed because here's a couple of good ones. I posted a few of these links on there at Front Simulation on Twitter. So let's see here. This is a Washington Post article. The headline is Humans versus Robots. The battle reaches a turning point. Warehouse robots at companies like Amazon and FedEx are finally able to pick and sort things with human-like finesse. Now, there is a, I don't know what you call it, a disclaimer I think that's what it is. I don't know what the technical term in the news biz is, but the thing is that the Washington Post is owned by is it owned by Bezos or Amazon something? It's owned by the same entity, right? One way or the other. And so it is that they're talking about this technology that's being developed, I think, by Amazon. Here, let's read the top part of this article. I'll get the details here. Okay, so warehouse robots are finally reaching their holy grail moment, picking and sorting objects with the dexterity of human hands. Oh, here we go. Amazon has robotic arms that can pick and sort cumbersome items like headphones or plushy toys before they've been boxed. FedEx has piloted a similar system, which it uses in some warehouses to sort mail of various sizes. Okay, so there you go. Amazon, FedEx, using these picking robots. Oh, here you go. Here's the disclaimer. This is further down. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. Yeah, there you go. so that's interesting. It's the little disclaimer there I find interesting, because it's not like they're upset about letting you know this. It's almost like, hey, look, we've done it. It's good. This is exciting. It's not something to be upset about, something to be proud of. This is similar to me to when Bezos was a couple of years back claiming that the Amazon is going to use flying drones to deliver packages. That was big. He kept doing that. That was obviously a big PR campaign for him and Amazon. We still have not seen drone delivery, not that we never will, but that was a huge PR push. And I assume that this is a similar thing. It's like, okay, let's let everybody know about our picking robot arms now, because we're so proud of it, or whatever. You know, it's actually, I think, good press for Amazon. And I would assume that it's good in that it shows what an technological innovator it is. Like, look, we're innovating all this tech, and they very much want to be perceived as a tech world leader for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is that the Silicon Valley and technology, high tech, computer, all that industry is very much pushing to become the new military industrial complex, from what I gather. And so this would definitely help that end of things. Again, the good press of, like, look what Amazon can develop. U.S. government, you might want to hire us over and over again for different robotics projects and things like this.
Hey, Aaron, do you mind if I ask you a question right here?
No,
because I don't normally love to jump into your show so much, but I gotta stop you and ask you something, because it's a chicken or the egg thing here with Amazon, right? Because they have the cloud technology that we've read about before that has been utilized by the government, by the military, so we know that they're already technologically in bed with the military industrial complex. So do they actually need an ad? Or is this just a way of trying to introduce something to the public and normalize it? Because even though we didn't see the drones on a widespread, like they're not coast to coast, right? I have heard.
They're definitely in there with AWS and all that. And they have been for a while.
Right. But I've heard that some of those drones did come out in some places, did do deliveries in some places. I don't know what the results were because we didn't see it in the press. It's interesting, though, that that they finally started putting the disclaimer in there so far. Your analysis, I'm just enjoying it, because it's interesting they finally said, oh, by the way, this publication is owned by the same people we're talking about, because people like you and me would read this stuff on our shows and things and point out, oh, hey, the Post is reporting on Jeff Bezos. You think maybe they're going to be fair or not about that since he owns it? You know, it's like, hold on. Right? I mean, isn't that fascinating that now I think they've been forced to because we kept doing it? Where it was like, yeah. Well, dude, you're reporting on yourself. Is this native advertising or is this something even deeper than that? Is this, you know, is this part of your, your genome? Is this your genomic-based advertising as opposed to native? Because, I mean, it's deep. It's coming from the people that are, you know, the people that are literally printing this are getting paid by the people they're printing it about. So is it advertising? Is it PR? Is it, you know what I'm saying? How do you even classify that? Anyway, but I think it's interesting that a lot of these tech developments that are touted or demonstrated to people are sort of meant to normalize the idea. And at the same time, I don't know if they need the ads because they're already in bed there. And in some cases, like people talk about with Zuckerberg, right, where it's like, well, look, they had a whole thing that was real similar to the software requirements of what Facebook came out as that they had for the military already. Right? I mean, isn't that because he was just doing Hot or Not out there? I mean, just a stupid website. So I'm just saying, is it chicken or the egg? Are they already in bed with the military-industrial complex and they're normalizing this? Or is this, yeah, give us more contracts, whether people know about them or not? I mean, they could be part of the clandestine stuff or part of the surface level, like a Boeing, right? Or, you know, where they've got a bit of both. What do you think?
I think it's doing all this stuff, honestly. And, yeah, they're already got the contracts. But I think any little bit helps.
So you think it's an all-of-the-above kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. Okay. And AWS is their big bread and butter there. And even AI and, like, more software-driven stuff, I want to say. If memory serves me, is what their contracts are mainly have been. But this proves that they have robotics prowess as well. Mm. Which I think it could be helpful. But yeah, they're definitely introducing this to the public in the same way that they introduced the concept of the flying drones. And again, the drone delivery thing. And that never came to be. However, that too showed off that, like, oh, look, we're developing these fancy drones. Now they're developing these advanced picking robotic arms. Mm. Which is impressive. And it just goes to prove that the concept of the dark warehouse was the fully automated warehouse that doesn't need human employees anymore is not far away, most likely. It's certainly achievable. It's just a matter of how long. But they already have this, which is, again, they're saying a holy grail moment. It's one of the things that people said would be the most difficult thing to do, likely wouldn't happen, wouldn't displace human labor because it's like it's not worth it to – you can't design a machine to have that kind of dexterity is what people would argue. Now you really can't do that anymore because obviously the tech exists now. So it's just a matter of developing that further so it gets better and better, which it will. And the question of implementation on the supply chain side, on the business side, the logistics operations of a warehouse, it comes down to the simple equation of when does the robot become cheaper than human labor?
Yeah, see,
At that point, it gets used.
Of course
it
does.
It's that simple.
No, of course it does. And that's the interesting thing here. And look, this will be my last thing because I was thinking about your coverage of the General Dynamics deal with, you know, the weird robot headless dog that, you know, we saw in Black Mirror. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, by the way, we're going to sell these to police departments. And, oh, we do already have contracts. And, oh, and then a car company got involved with it. Remember that? Well,
yeah.
So that thing being out there, I find it fascinating that there's a general push, though, for the for AI right now where like I was just, you know, taking a listen to because I just randomly listen to different news feeds, you know, audio wise when I'm doing work. And over this weekend, there was a few stories about this. And I didn't write down details on it because I'm like, oh, Aaron's going to wind up covering this. Because there was a bunch of things out there about these like writer programs that have now gotten so good that yes. they are close to being able to be indiscernible from a human writer in certain cases. Like even legally, they were talking about like, oh, say this thing might be able to do the work of a lawyer if you feed it enough information, do the writing of a lawyer. Maybe it won't be able to handle the complexity of arguing something before the Supreme Court, but don't worry, we'll get there. And then yes. even the developers were like, okay, here's one thing, though. We've actually found recently that the AI will lie and BS through certain things. And we're not sure what they had a name for it, and I forget what it is, but the story repeated itself. So it was clearly distributed to more than one media outlet. You know, it wasn't like one person's. Yeah. I just find it interesting that it's like, hey, guys, the AI's gotten a lot better. It's not perfect yet, but it's gotten a lot better. And I found that to be a weird sort of, you know, general global sort of push toward the normalization. And that's what I think is going on here with this, is that, hey, you know what, just like you got your self-checkouts and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and eventually, you know, everything might become a giant kiosk where you got to get everything out of a plastic box that allows you to get it, you know? Yeah. Eventually we'll do that, and then there won't be any need for people outside of you idiots who are coming here to buy stuff. you know, and even then, maybe you'll send your drone to go pick it up. I mean, we might have a total and complete a saturation of this stuff. And anyway, we all know about the dystopian possibilities. But I'm just saying, I find this interesting, and especially when a guy like you covers it. So I hope you do get to more of this stuff on AI in the very near future, because I think it's whether we like it or not, here it comes. And have you ever seen the last thing? Have you ever seen a robot friend that they call Emo?
Yeah, it sounds familiar. Yeah.
Okay, I put a link to it in the chat room. You know, and I'll give that to you if you run out of time. You know, if you run out of things that you wanted to cover during this time, you probably won't, but you never do. But if you do at some point, I'd like you to look at this. I'd love to get your raw thoughts on it. Because I had a lot of thoughts on it, and have a reason why I'm focused on this particular one, but I wanted to see what your analysis was.
Chat room.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll put it in our chat on the Skype if you like, so that you know, so we can get it. You know, you can pick it up when you want. But obviously,
oh,
I don't want to.
I see the link. I got it. Yeah, okay. I got it. Check Emo Living AI.
Yes, it's from the Living AI company. Uh-huh. And,
maybe I haven't seen this one.
Maybe
new,
not.
I don't know.
It's not that new. They've newly updated it, but it's not that new. It's a couple years old.
I've seen the similar, the very basic robot that walks and dances like that. I've seen that version, which is not AI.
Right.
It's just a dancing toy version. I haven't seen this one.
Well, they have this on many levels. They have, you know, ones that are really just, you know, appear sophisticated but are not. And then they have ones that do have interactive cues that are just based on a very basic computer. I mean, the kind of thing that they could have sold in the 70s is out there. But also now this thing is different. Because this is probably the best level of this sort of thing, where it encompasses all sorts of things, including facial recognition, spatial awareness. Okay. Yeah. They even have this thing programmed so that every once in a while it gets a cold and you got to take care of it. Okay.
Okay. So it's like a Tamagotchi.
Like that, but it's on your desktop. And he just sort of chills out and hangs out with you. Plus, you can tell him to play music and all that. Like, he's like many different types of tech sort of rolled into one. Maybe you take a look at him one of these days for one of the shows. But it's pretty wild when I'm looking at these, you know, evolutions going on with the AI and the odd sort of publicity campaigns that are wrapped around them. The money involved in putting these things out. And by the way, that Emo there is $300, which is kind of just suspiciously affordable. Let's say.
Okay, I got it.
I really want you to look at this thing.
You wonder about the price of development.
Oh,
how
yeah.
much went into it.
Oh, I guarantee.
How much they're going to get a return on, right? Yeah,
I guarantee that this thing should not retail for that low a price. I mean, it's a lot of money for me. But what I'm saying is that for a piece of tech that contains all this stuff, doesn't seem to me as though you can get it for $300 if you were to try and assemble your own. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, that's tough to say. It's the business side of thing is difficult.
But you take a look at that.
For me to guess.
If you can't tell me that that's suspiciously cheap for what he does and what he's capable of, yeah. Anyway, I'll leave it to you. I don't want to lead or suggest anything. I just point to you that this is a suspicious piece of technology.
Yeah, it's interesting, and clearly it's playing off of its name is letting you know that the main concept of this is that it emotes. It has different
And it does. It does.
It's supposed to. It makes you think that it's emoting. That's the idea. It's like a little cartoon animated robot thing.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not specifically being marketed to children. It's actually being specifically marketed to adults. Although the secondary marketing strategy, which I also see, is for kids. So it's
sure.
across the board, but. The interesting thing is that it's promoted as like your friend. Immediately after all this isolation we've all been through with the lockdowns and such, here's your friend. Yeah. So I'm just saying, okay, I'll leave it at that. I'm done. But I just thought that was interesting, and it also fits with what you're talking about, which again, Bezos, Washington Post, and. Yeah, they finally have to put those disclaimers in there because so many people go, well, here is the Washington Post writing about Amazon. Conflict of interest? Anybody? Okay.
Yeah,
anyway, exactly. I'll shut up. And people, please call in and talk about whatever you want here with Aaron. But I just wanted to throw these couple of things in and get your take on it. Thanks.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The robot, that fits right into the bigger picture. I think the overall concept I just wanted to put forward tonight is that all this stuff is just here, and it's not about to happen. It's already happened. So we used to have the luxury of talking about these topics like, yeah, these are coming soon. And now we're just at the point, well, they're here. And the question for any given piece, again, let's look at the dark warehouse concept. It's just a matter of when it gets implemented. And again, with the picking machine, the only thing that's hindering the implementation of it really is a little bit further development where they can mass produce these things. But that feeds into the main purpose of, well, what's most cost effective, buying machines to do the work or paying wages to human laborers. And at the instant that it's cheaper to use the machines, that's what will be done by everybody, not just Amazon, but everyone, because that's the way business works. This is going to be like the new version of the offshoring of labor. This is like the new version of that. It's fascinating to see, really, because countries, both China and the U.S., for a moment here, are bringing back like manufacturing jobs nationally. Well, I guess U.S. is bringing manufacturing back where they had offshored it to China previously. But now China is doing a lot of things more insular, trying to self-contained economically speaking. And so the U.S., what they do is bring manufacturing here. And I think it's really a precursor to more automation because, bring the factories here because now the cheapest way to produce things is just full automation. So it's a race to who can automate their society the fastest. That's what you don't always hear about Cold War 2.0 or whatever we're calling it, the big geopolitical, geoeconomic tensions between the U.S. and China primarily. That's what it is. It's like, well, who can get this all done fast enough? And who can automate everything? Who can come up with the best AI? The U.S., one of the big manufacturing pushes now is to build all these chip factories, these microchip factories. They're going in all over the country. It's a huge national push for that because all the big experts have said, like, we have that's one of the tech advantages we have had, we continue to have, and need to leverage in the near-term future, developing all of this emerging tech. We have to maintain the advantage of being able to produce advanced microprocessors. And so all these factories going in across the nation, and they have a particular name for the factories. I can't remember what it's called. They have a name for that sort of factory. I got to remember that. But anyway, that's what's happening there. Automation of everything. And some of the more extreme tech is coming out into the open too. Things that previously, admittedly, had to stay kind of closed up because they were afraid of what the public reaction would be. And I'm talking here about artificial wombs. So here's a story about that. This is from, what, Indy100.com, although there are several stories about the same thing. As Chuck was saying, these stories about things, that they just get it's a PR thing. Whoever's the stakeholder is wanting to push out, whoever owns this or wants the message to get out, they just get a press release basically and send it out to everybody, and then everybody just copies and pastes that, and then that's their story. And they make little changes so it looks different somewhat. But anyway, Indy100.com headline: scientist unveils prospect of human factory growing thousands of babies a year. Okay. A new video has offered an unsettling glimpse of the future thanks to a concept that promises to reinvent the evolution of humankind. Ectolife, a wordplay on ectogenesis right there, which is the use of artificial wombs is ectogenesis. Okay, so Ectolife, the world's first artificial womb facility, would grow 30,000 babies a year inside transparent pods designed to replicate the exact conditions that exist inside the mother's uterus. During a virtual tour of the facility, we are told that the pods would make premature births, C-sections, miscarriage, and low sperm count a thing of the past. It would be the perfect solution for women who had their uterus surgically removed due to cancer or other complications. Let's see here. A guy named Hashem Al-Ghali is the guy behind this. What else is it saying? So anyway, artificial wombs. And then it goes on, you could genetically engineer the baby to have all – genetically engineer it to have different traits and whatnot. Oh, here you go. If you want your baby to stand out and have a brighter future, our elite package offers you the opportunity to genetically engineer the embryo before implanting it into the artificial womb. Gene editing tool would enable parents to edit any trait of their baby through a wide range of over 300 genes. So yeah, you get to the designer babies, artificial wombs, ectogenesis. This, as I was saying, is a topic that I talked about years and years ago on the show. I read there's an article from the Harvard Science Review that was particularly interesting to me. And that was the one where they were saying there's been a lot of research into artificial wombs for decades and decades. And this was over a decade ago when this piece was written. But they said that the research has been purposely kept quiet because they knew that the public would just go crazy if they heard anything about it. They realized that the reaction that would be had if word were to get out on this. And now, lo and behold, in 2022, we have a news story just saying, oh yeah, we've got a human factory opening up. And here's this guy, he's quite proud about it, and he's hoping that you will become a customer. You know? And again, on the PR side of this, he, I'm sure, has something to do with the PR push of this article and why you're seeing so many of the same articles. He wants people to know about this because it's good press. If nobody knows this company exists, then what good is it? So it's in his interest to have people know about this. And so it must be that we're at a point where people aren't going to react as they would have when the Harvard Science Review article was written. So that just goes to show you that, you know, our attitudes have changed over time. We apparently – the time has come where we're prepared for this news. Prepared or not, it's here. As somebody at least believes like, hey, look, maybe even they think they're taking a risk by doing this. But like, hey, look, let's just see what happens. And I haven't heard too much of an uproar over this. You hear more about, celebrities and things than this. I saw this article online, but I haven't heard any comment. I haven't noticed commentary, although I'm not looking everywhere for that. So I very well may have missed that. But pretty crazy. Here we are, the age of transitions. These things are happening. Dark warehouses just around the corner. Fully automation. I mean, society is being automated. I keep saying that, but that's what this is all about. It's just who can do it faster. It's what the geopolitical angle of this is. And we've got things like artificial wombs coming to the fore. They're being introduced now. And certainly this is a thing. It's a business. So it's pretty remarkable that we're at this point now that this stuff is here. It's here now. So much of this. Artificial intelligence, not a thing of the future. It's here. Again, it's just a matter of where are we now at the moment. And each day there's a new story about some new development in artificial intelligence machine learning systems. Deep fakes. I've seen a lot of articles about deep fakes recently and how we're at like a crisis point for that, where a deep fake can be made of anybody. So as if reality weren't confusing enough to make sense of what's real, what's fiction, and what's somewhere in between. Well, now we've got the ability to create deep fakes that are so convincing. I mean, they look like video footage from real life. So what's that going to do? How will that be used? How will that be exploited? How will that be defended against once it does happen? Like, what do you do once a deepfake's unleashed? How do you dial back people's perception of viewing it the first time? Like, well, yeah, we know you saw that, but what you saw wasn't real. and by the same token, you could anybody could just claim that something from reality, something that somebody actually did, if you want to just act like it didn't happen, you say, oh, that was a deep fake. Like, oh, did you see what President Biden said yesterday? And if it's something like so controversial that he shouldn't have said, maybe the administration should just go like, well, it was a deep fake. Like, oh yeah, again, all right. And people would believe it because it certainly could have been a deep fake, right? So God help us all. I don't know. As I was saying, it's hard enough to make sense of reality as it was. I don't know what we're supposed to do in this world that we're now in, this brave new world where we're growing humans. Human evolution is going to the next phase thanks to designing babies in artificial wombs. That's literally out of Brave New World. So that's a reality, no longer science fiction. Advanced robotics here, artificial intelligence here, and it's all of these things are advancing. They're now here. They're advancing further. That's what technology does. That's the nature of technique. It doesn't stop. It continues to perfect itself. And it never ends doing that. It keeps continuing till it gets better and better and better. And there's no end to that. There's no final state where, well, it's the best it possibly could be, because it always can be better. It could always get a little better, a little more advanced. One little tweak could make a certain aspect of something work. And even when one aspect of tech gets better, that can make another aspect of it work better, you see? So it's not fancy. It's not complicated. It's just the nature, again, of technique, technology, artifice. This is the world we're living in. And there's no turning back. We have to deal with this. And I don't quite know what to say about that. I don't know how to. I don't know how we will. There's already, at least the story that you hear, and I think I heard in an advertisement just earlier tonight, that there's a mental health crisis. People reporting, at least, they have symptoms like anxiety, depression, mental health issues of all kinds. Apparently, the numbers on that are going up, again, according to this ad I heard. So who knows what that means, but it's believable. And it would make sense in light of everything that's happening. Because, again, how do you make sense of all this? And what is our place now? You know, what is the place of the human being in a fully automated civilization? The jobs are here for now, and that's the fascinating thing to see as well, to see that wages on average actually are going up at the moment. They are going up. It's never been better wage-wise from one point of view. You got to take inflation into account and all that, but wages are at least better at a very surface level than they ever have been. And also, employers are generally treating employees in a new sort of with a different and new sort of respect that I haven't seen before. That's something. This is things that I've noticed, and maybe I'm off, but their employees are generally being treated better, and this is at like low level employment now. Simultaneously, I've also noticed that corporate employment, more sort of higher levels within middle class society, that seems to be falling apart from what I gather, from what I see. There's some strange things going on in the corporate world for sure when it comes to employment. A lot of bizarre and contradictory things, because one thing happening is the remote work reality. There's a lot of remote work jobs, and they pay very good. I mean, the kind of, we're talking about six-figure salaries, the likes of which I've been talking about, the sort of higher middle class corporate jobs that have been around for a while. A lot of those are shifting over to the remote sector. And I've seen lots of strange things online where people are doing that. And again, in a lot of circumstances, people are claiming that those remote jobs are so so much less labor intensive than their previous employment where they were going to the office. It's so much less labor intensive that they can literally, if they, I think somebody was joking posting online about this, but it could be done. Somebody could get several of these jobs and work them simultaneously, and their employers would be none the wiser. Again, that was like a joking social media post, but from people that I've talked to have told me, yes, you could literally do that. And these are jobs paying upwards of $100,000 a piece. So you've got that happening. At the same time, you have people have been laid off. I know that people have been laid off. It seems like a lot. And also the hiring, getting hired, from what I hear, is extremely difficult too. And it's a whole different situation than that has ever been. So a lot of people are having trouble. A lot of people are losing their jobs. Concurrently, a lot of people are working remotely, working less than they ever have, making just as much as they ever have. So it's a lot of weird, contradictory stuff. I think that whole American reality is about to explode, honestly. It seems like we're headed to an implosion of that. Again, the entire weird corporate job market as we have known it, it's on the edge of some calamity. I don't know how that's going to play out, but it seems as though that is on the way. And it only makes sense with the looming reality of automation around the corner too. The sort of cliche concept of that in the past, I think we've moved beyond that even in the general concept of this. I think we've moved beyond the concept that automation is only in the realm of the blue collar, again, the low wage jobs. It's going, of course, factories become more and more automated. A warehouse, sure, we can automate a warehouse, dark warehouse, great. Low income job, who gives a rat's ass? Nobody cares. Well, guess what? As Chuck was pointing out, journalism can be done by machines, especially the sorts of generic journalism we've gotten used to in the past decade, where it's just churned out rather robotically anyway. And that's a sphere where already the employment has become a serious issue among journalists, and work is just horrible. It's just become worse and worse all the time. It's become more and more of a business. And again, just making sure the bottom line of making money is maximized. It's been a long trend there. But these sorts of things are happening. So the automation of writing, I would say that accounting, we got to be just on the edge of all accounting being done by machines. I can't imagine humans doing that for very much longer. Chuck was making the point that something even like an attorney could be, you could have an AI attorney. That makes sense. You get a sophisticated enough machine learning system. You feed it the data set of that is law. You feed it, you just say, oh, here's all the laws that there are or all the laws that pertain to whatever your particular specialty or function is. Here, make patterns in it. Make sense of it. It's just a matter of tweaking the system so that it is able to make sense of those data sets. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of in management positions, I can't imagine that so much of management will be able to be done by machines, because they'll just say, okay, this goes here, that goes there. It will be able to make lots of different decisions quicker and faster. than a human ever could. So I don't see how a lot of things just won't be automated. And now even things like art, that's a big it's a big uproar over the AI art programs now. And that's become a sort of odd debate to see online. People are getting all up on arms of both sides of that one. Like, oh, this is against all humanity. This is evil. The people that are against it. And then on the other side, like, all these idiots that are against AI art are ridiculous. And it's just these debates. I don't know how much more I can stand of them, because I continue to see less and less value in the debating of what's good, what's bad. Okay, here's AI art. AI art, is it good or is it bad? Which side am I taking? Where's the debate at? It's becoming increasingly irrelevant as these things just steamroll further and further, and there are just more and more of them. I mean, we can have whatever opinion we want of all this stuff. It just keeps happening. And, you know, the psychological toll, perhaps this comes back to the crisis of mental health. I think so much of it has to do with we're all overwhelmed by the whole of this, like everything that is our lives is overwhelming. And then so much of this is completely out of our control. And yet it affects us, and it's going to more and more each passing day. And there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. So, yeah. Oh, what do you think that does psychologically to a population? It does what it's doing. That's why we are where we're at. That's why I believe the message that there's a mental health crisis, because how could there not be? So yeah, whether it's an ad or not, I believe that. It makes perfect sense. I can't see how it wouldn't be otherwise. So yeah, we're here. We are in the age of transitions. All of this stuff is not in the future. It's now. We're all fumbling around to make some kind of sense of it. Really doesn't make much sense, but it's reality. And whatever reality actually is, that hardly matters either, because it can just be deep faked, a new version of it. And so we're in this like Philip K. Dick situation. That reality has taken on that, where we don't know what to believe anymore. And there's nothing you can believe. So, yeah, you start going into a state of cognitive dissonance. Of course. I mean, I don't know. So I don't mean to add fuel to the fire of the frustration, fear, anxiety. I'm not trying to do that. I'm really not. I don't want to be doing that. I'm just saying. I'm just continuing to talk about all this stuff that I've been talking about for quite a while now. And it just seems like I just know that we're at a point where certainly it can't be denied. It's just a matter of, well, what exactly are, I guess, no, it's a catch-22 because we're at the point of, well, what do we just think of all of this? And that brings us back to, well, it doesn't matter what we think, right? So it does matter, and we still have room to influence the world. It seems like less and less. But I would argue, the more that you think, you know, outside the box, I know it's a cliche, but the more you think that way, the better off you are now more than ever, because we're increasingly boxed into the machine reality that has taken over. and the machines are already, I mean, they've been shaping us, but now it's really their world. And we're just here living alongside them. Whether we're serving them in a literal sense or not, or if they're continuing to serve our interests. Now, that's an interesting debate. You know, who made who, right? The AC/DC song. It's a great song. It's the only redeeming quality of Maximum Overdrive movie, was that it's sad when AC/DC is the most profound thing about something, but it truly was in that case. And likewise, one of Neil Young's greatest albums is Trans. Maybe one day that will be realized. At the moment, it's still seen as one of his absolute worst. So yeah, everything's being turned on its head. So just wait for it. Soon, that which was not appreciated in the past will be. At the point that it is, it's not a good thing that it is, because we're living in such a bizarre space. Again, we're living in a brave new world. But yeah, so much of it is about making it normal. And I hope I'm not doing that either. Maybe I am. I don't want to be. It's hard to know what to do in the face of this, honestly. It really is. And I'm trying here. I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to find a way forward. But I think the way forward certainly doesn't include what we've been doing up to this point. Something does have to change. And that too is so much of a point of frustration for everybody. And another reason why so many people are acting out in so many different ways at the moment, I think, has a lot to do with that. So many people already feel as though they're left behind. You know, the voter base that voted for Trump mostly did so because they felt that way. Like, look, I'm left behind and the system doesn't give a damn about me. This guy seems like he does, and he did a good job tricking people into thinking that he did. He didn't at all, of course. I mean, that's obvious, but he never did. He doesn't care about anything. So, I mean, I don't think he's capable of caring about anything other than himself. Do I even bother mentioning the Trump NFT story? Is that even worth talking about? I mean, it was fun comedic relief, but it was also depressing. So, I mean, such is the nature of things these days. You can't just laugh at something for being completely ridiculous and so stupid and seemingly like, who's going to buy a Trump digital trading card? Well, they sold out in a day, right? So there you go. So don't think you don't perceive the world in the way that seems most obvious, because it seems most obvious that a Trump NFT is worthless and nobody should want it. That much is true. Nobody should want that worthless garbage. However, they sold out. And I think less than a day. I don't know. It was really fast. So if you think you know how things are, just rethink that, because you probably don't. And I include myself in that more than anybody else in that general take on our wonderful reality we have, is that good luck making sense of it, because it is insane. It is an insane world that we live in. Always has been, always will be. But doesn't it just seem a little bit more insane than ever. It seems as though it is. And you want to believe that it is just to, again, maintain your own seeming level of sanity. It's like, if this isn't the absolute craziest thing that could happen, then what is? Well, probably what will happen next, what will happen tomorrow will become the new most insane thing. I'm getting a call. This is the end of the show, but I'm going to take it. So we'll talk to a caller here at the end. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller. You are on the line.
They are there.
They are? Okay.
951 area code. You should be able to hear us, and we should be able to...
Wait. I believe this call is the host of the next show.
So let's hold this call. I'm sorry. I will put that caller back on hold.
It's okay. Yeah. So, caller, you know who you are. Why don't you tell me all about who you are when we get on the other side of this show? Which the other side of this show is Uncle the Broadcast, which is the second half of this show. That's right. That's the second half of this show.
Sorry, I didn't recognize the number.
No, it's okay, Chuck. I should have reminded you that.
Okay.
It's okay.
No worries.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Uncle shortly because this is going to be his show. Right now, it's my show. It's all quite boring right now.
I'll just help Uncle out and say, government hour is almost over, so now it's time for the comedy hour. It's coming up. Okay? There you go. That's my best uncle impression. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. We'll hear it from the horse's mouth in a moment, and I can't wait to hear about how useless this show is, because really I can't argue with it. I can't argue with such logic. It's just a fact. It's a fact that this show is, I don't want to say useless, but I mean, who wants to listen to this? It might have some use, but I don't want to hear it. And I don't have to anymore. In 2 minutes, becomes Uncle the Broadcast. So lucky for everybody. Lucky for me. Lucky for you. We don't have to talk about this anymore. We'll just forget this ever even happened, okay? Everything's going to be better. Because it's Uncle the Broadcast coming up. And Uncle's New Year's Revolution is soon, too. New Year's Eve here on the Ocelli Radio Network. Again, 8 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. My brain is too tired to convert times right now, so I'm not going to even try.
No, fair enough. Let me just give you a little bit of help here. So at 8 p.m. Pacific time, that means that 11 p.m. Eastern will begin so that we can say Happy New Year to every time zone in the continental U.S. And also, one other programming note, there will be no live Age of Transitions or Uncle the Broadcast next week because that'll be Christmas Day. So the next time you hear from Aaron and Uncle, it will be the New Year's Revolution. Is that correct, Eric?
That's right, and I like all of that. That sounds great. And I'm thinking the connection's good here from what I gather. Well, let's test up the live stream video next hour, but it should be live from Landers, Uncle's New Year's Revolution, as tonight's show has been, too. I'm in Landers right now. Exciting. So, yeah, do stay tuned now for Uncle the Broadcast this hour, but also remember New Year's Eve. Please do call in. Listen live. We want you here partying with us. It wouldn't be the same without you. So Uncle's New Year's Revolution, live New Year's Eve on Ocelli Radio Network. We'll see you there. As for now, my name is Aaron Franz. My new website is theageoftransitions.com. I'll leave you, as always, by saying, seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Uncle, I'll bet you remember the time when Benjamin Fulford said that the Asian Secret Society was going to dispatch ninjas to take out the Illuminati to change the entire world for the better.
That ain't never gonna happen. That never did.
It never did it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of false promises.
Fools? I can't say one.
We better not say and be polite, but there are no false promises at the Ocelli.com radio network.
That's exactly it. Not. It's truth. The point, right to the point. And this is what I like. Straight to the point.
Ocelli.
Ocelli.com.
Listen now.
Listen now.
Cut them down. Cut them up. Cut them down. Cut it up.
Ocelli.com. The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a Mercy Broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back on the talk show of the hour. This is the 283 episode. Now,
somewhere.
What do we got to talk about for comedy, people? Hello?
Yep. Well,
ringing. Ring, ring. Let's go.
They call in. Yes.
Ring, boys. Yeah, wait. Well, I'm talking to the boys up there. It's supposed to ring that bell there, Chuck. Let's get moving.
Oh, I hear it. I hear it. We need to tell them it's 319-527-5016. That's the number to call. Or you send me a message on Skype, charles.ocelli, and I will call you into the show if you send me a text. That's the way that works, and Uncle wants to hear from you. Now, really quick note, Aaron, just so you know, at the very beginning, there was a little bit of a kind of a strain on that signal from probably the video feed, just so you know. Not brutal, okay. Not terrible, but a little bit, so okay. I'll keep monitoring that as we go, okay?
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you for letting me know. Yeah, we need to see if this is a viable connection.
Yeah, because this is the test for the New Year's Revolution.
This is the test. It is. This is important. This is an important broadcast, Uncle.
Oh, this is
incredibly important.
Oh, this is your test that you're testing?
Yes.
Psychic. Is this the one you're testing?
Oh. It is. So what we're doing tonight... What? So the plan is to have Uncle's New Year's Revolution happen live from Landers. That's what we want to do. But the prerequisite to that is we need to have a good enough internet connection that we can do a four-hour show, live stream video, do all that.
If you're left trying it tonight to see if you can do that. And then the evolution. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, tonight's the test of – I do have the Ethernet connection up on my laptop, which I use out here. So it's the Ethernet. It seemed like it was working good earlier, but as Chuck said, he's going to see how the connection works so that it doesn't drop. Because it has dropped when we've recorded out here with the Wi-Fi previously, Uncle. So if we can get away with the Ethernet being good enough, we'll definitely do the revolution from here. Landers. Mm. That's what I want. I think that's what you want, too. So we'll see. How are we doing, Chuck? Still okay?
Or? Yeah, so far I can hear that it is not as strong once you turned on the video stuff because your video streaming, it hasn't broken really or gotten real bad. But it's a little weak, so if we can figure out a way to maybe cut down on your bandwidth use while you're there, then it's probably a go. We can do it audio, though. The audio ran fine during the first hour without a glitch that I could hear. But it's just a matter of bandwidth. I mean, look, internet service is different in different places, you know. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. But even with the direct connection, it may be challenging to run the video that night. Just warning you, unless it's on, you know. I guess if you ran the video through like a different wireless network, like through one of the cell phone providers, though, that's another possibility. Because if you ran it through there, I mean, God knows what your data usage would be. But if you ran it through there, it would allow the audio to be unchallenged so that you'd have a strong audio signal feeding into your video. Let's keep monitoring it and let's not bore the audience with that. Because as Uncle will tell you, it's the comedy hour, so... and he was doing some good comedy.
Where's
in the
my
break
phone calls there, Chuck?
I'm looking I'm looking and I'm
get
also gonna
call.
Look at the listeners and everything. Everybody call in 319-527-5016. But you were cracking me up during the break, Uncle, and you know why? Because at the end of at the end of Sidekick's show there, he was talking about the NFTs made by Donald Trump. And it seems as though you had some thoughts about the Trump trading cards that went for $100 a piece.
I knew he was going to say something about that tonight. Because we had that conversation today, talking about having this laugh that we were having, and him talking and he going on laughing about it. I knew it was going to be something about that, what he was going to say on his show.
Right. Yep. And just so you know, international callers, we do have an unusual one right now from the Netherlands. We don't usually see the Netherlands come up on our stream. Australia.
A new customer there.
There's a new one. And Australia. I don't see Canada tonight, which is weird. And it's not international, but Puerto Rico is listening as well, just so you know. Part of the United States, but, outside of the continental United States. So that's who's outside of the continental United States right now. Puerto Rico, Netherlands, and Australia listening to the show. Not seeing Europe. I guess they're busy.
Australia. I know who's listening in Australia. He'll be on the phone.
Well, hopefully it's Ray. You know what? It's probably either Ray or it could be another alternative. Yeah. What did he call? Mr. Flash, right?
Yes, Mr. Flash.
Mr. Flash.
Mr. Flash, his son.
His nephew.
Oh, he's getting ready for the Revolution one. I know what he's getting ready for.
Yes, yes. And Mr. Flash is the nephew of... Mr. Flash is the nephew of Ray the Ford Freak, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
See, I know my. Yeah. I see. I know all my customers' phones.
Right.
So I can't.
I see.
I know all my customers.
Very good.
And you got a bunch of your biggest cluster of listeners in the United States right now is in Texas. By the way, Conroe, Houston, Dallas. Hold on. What else we got here? Georgetown. Oh, Georgetown, Houston again. And San Antonio. Okay, excellent. So that's all that I see listening in Texas. Couple in Houston, actually. Anyways, the couple in Houston, though, probably crazy accidents is responsible for them because he's the one who puts around the Uncle stickers everywhere.
Could be.
Oh, so that means he must got me a new customer for that.
Looks like.
Give him some credit. He did.
That's right. Along with banning California, parts of Massachusetts, Sacramento, California, Springfield, Missouri, Springfield, Mass. Okay, two Springfields. Netherlands. Okay, Tucson, Arizona. I already mentioned banning California. That's another one. Two in Banning, California, excuse me.
Ooh, it's because I'm in Landers again. We're getting those Banning listeners. Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, you must have saw somebody at the store on your way through and reminded them, huh?
I think so.
Either that or they're watching
they
you.
Some people from there. Some people from Landers answers or listens.
Yes, yeah. They do.
Remember that one time we couldn't figure out where he was coming from? It was Landers, but we didn't know where. What was that number? Yeah, you were saying that.
Oh, we're getting a call, Uncle. It's not just you.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
Hello there. Hello. Who's on the phone and where you from? All right.
What's up, guys?
Oh, wait a minute.
Look who it is, Uncle.
This is the Ohio boy. The Ohio boy. Right?
Uh-huh. Coolie Digital, live and uncut, ready to rip some shit up.
I knew it was Ohio. I was lost. You caught me off that time there. Who is?
You're getting another call. Hang in there, Coolie. We'll get right back to you. We'll get right back to you.
Hold on to you. Yeah.
Okay, we got a new caller. New caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Cool. Hey, Uncle, this is Travis.
Travis.
Oh, yo. And what's been happening?
I'm Ohio.
Ohio boy. Oh, we got two Ohio boys on the line here now. Well, you're both going to have a conversation. You can talk, dude.
Yeah. This is Travis and
now we are talking comedy show.
We are.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah.
Hello?
How about
what are you doing, buddy?
What was all that?
What was that, Coolie? What do you want to talk about?
I said, how about them teams? Seven-time AFC West champion.
Oh. You're thinking the Chiefs. That's right. He's a Chiefs fan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope you can beat off Buffalo, Chief man.
I think Mahomes will take Allen to school.
The only team that I can see that'll give the Chiefs problems, what I've seen so far, is Cincinnati. They're the only
Cincinnati.
Team. From what I saw this season. Yeah, from what I saw this season.
Okay.
For the season. No, I'm talking about season. Seen it from.
Yeah,
because nobody can beat them but them. And that's what I've seen, what I've noticed. So,
good team.
You know what's really funny, Uncle and Aaron, is that we got two callers from Ohio, and nobody was listening on the stream from Ohio. Although I wanted to tell you that it's interesting also that seems as though we got listeners on Apple iTunes Radio and also through some apps on the Apple iPads and iPhones, which is unusual for most of the shows on the network. You guys are picking up a lot more Apple listeners, and they picked up more when Uncle came on, actually. We also have
people. They know my hour.
We also have people listening on TuneIn Radio. We also have people listening on TuneIn Radio through the Mozilla app and Winamp, but the prominent ones are the Apple iTunes Radio and some kind of app on the Apple iPhone that it won't tell me what it is. It's just a general app, some radio app on there. Okay, so just want to let you guys know that's what's going on.
You know why? Because they're live and uncut, bro.
That's it.
Oh, by the way, there, Hoogie, I was going to ask you something. Have you got my tattoo yet?
No, but it'll probably be tomorrow. But I do have something else in the works I'm working on.
Because I'm curious to see that on my video when you get it.
Soon
as I get it, Uncle, I will be on your Instagram. I'll put it on YouTube along with my video.
I'm interested to see that. I guess curious about it.
Boy, am I glad you haven't gotten... Cooley, I'm so glad you haven't gotten banned from YouTube like I have. But, guys, we do have another caller about to join on via Skype. So there's caller number three via Skype, and they should be here momentarily.
Okay, let him call in and hold these other people for a minute. Where you from, man?
Hold on. They're not there yet. See, this is the thing with Skype, is if I call them in and they don't answer right away, sometimes it kicks the call back. But I was trying to let you know, and there he is.
There we go.
Hello. Turn the radio down.
Hello?
Hey, caller.
Yeah, hello.
Is this
Skype caller? They can hear you. Tell them who you are.
Skype calling. This is Robin from Canada.
All right.
Robin,
great to hear from you.
I call you Robin.
How you guys doing?
I knew it would be having a phone call. What's been happening with you?
Well, we got some snow today. That's one thing.
Ooh, white stuff.
We got the white stuff over here. But only a dusting, a light dusting. So there's supposed to be cold temperatures all over the North America this week, apparently, eh?
Yeah, because I know it's got to be, because in Landers, I know from last night, it was about 34.
It's lower than that. It's been below freezing in Landers.
Lower now.
Oh, really?
That's low.
Yeah, that night. Low. Yeah, that's freezing. What I'm talking about.
Yeah, we even
How about you Ohio boys? What's the temperature over there?
Give me a minute and I'll go,
We even hit 30 degrees. We even hit...
I think it's 28.
Holy moly, that's even cooler.
Yeah, we even hit 30 degrees here in subtropical Georgia, just so you know.
Oh, God.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, that's cold.
Cold winds are blowing from the north.
It's
winter time. What do you want?
This year, next Friday in Ohio, the high of 12.
High of 12?
I can't beat that.
That's gracious.
Ohio fans up there. You're lucky you are in a bowl. You're lucky, let me tell you.
Uncle, I'm pretty sure I heard a phone.
Ohio fans.
I think we have another call, Uncle.
A phone call ring? Who is it?
I think so.
Who is it? Call in. Where are you from? Hello?
New caller. You're on the
Jimmy air. Jimmy James. Calling from Michigan. How are you doing?
I knew you'd be coming on.
The legendary Jimmy James.
Hey, I hear your boys are doing better. Hey, you might have a shot.
That's right.
The Mighty Lions, the Group of 500.
Yeah.
Hey, how?
No wonder it snowed.
How cold is it in Michigan, Jimmy James?
Yeah. Hey, what did you?
Extremely, 24 degrees Fahrenheit and snowing like crazy.
There you go.
Dumping it down. You got a ski do, Jimmy?
I got. What about me?
Oh, dude.
Do you have a ski do to drive around on?
No, yeah. I need
you
one.
You got a machine?
That'd be nice.
You can pick
snowmobile, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, something that's low. Something in if they're selling something.
Has it ever snowed in the desert down that way?
Yes, yeah, it snows here. I think there was a frost recently. It does snow. Last year there was snow. I'm assuming some point this winter there will be a snow. It does up in the high desert here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Giant rock with some snow on it.
Well, up it, yeah.
That'd be cool, yeah. Make our way
if I knew where you
that,
was, Jimmy, I'd bring you a heavy Chevy and we could go have some fun.
You should drive out here, Cooley. You should. We can take you to some good spots.
Have a vacation sometime and bring you down here, and you'll see some. Maybe up in.
And I'm going
we'll show you
in the spring to go to California, San Diego.
Springtime? Oh, really? You're going to head out in the spring?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Wow. Go see Jake the Snake.
Really?
Snake?
Yeah.
Oh, man, let me know about that.
He's alive?
Well, it's another right. Jake the Snake.
Okay. I got another caller. Hold on, people.
Another caller. We're testing the lines for the revolution. That's what we're doing.
Calling down.
Testing the lead.
We're testing here. We're testing here.
That caller dropped off. Hello? Sorry. That caller dropped off.
Okay. It's all right.
Caller dropped off.
I was going to ask, Aaron, is it possible to test the video call in again, or is that with your bandwidth? It might be an iffy proposition.
I can guarantee you we're not going to pull off the NDI video. I wish. That's something that we couldn't even do in Riverside with our better connection there. We're not going to be able to pull it off. Maybe in the future, if we get a better connection, I'll start using that.
Right.
It's a shame because it would be cool to do that, but it just uses too much bandwidth, unfortunately.
Yeah, you hear the little intermittent interruption in Aaron's signal, Robin, on your Skype, like a little bit of a breakup in his signal here and there?
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, it's very slight. It's not extreme, but he's pushing it now with what he's got running. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Maybe you got to go 8-bit video.
Robin,
yeah, awesome if we did all video calls.
Yeah, well, Cooley, that's what we're talking about. Like, I had everything set up so that the people who call in through Skype, like Robin is right now, we'd be able to see them on the video, on the live stream video, but it just uses so much bandwidth that my online connection isn't good enough to pull it off. Unfortunately, I wish I could. I'd do it. Move to Ohio, where the internet connection is good.
Maybe you got to get that Electric Man satellite internet.
Yeah. Electric Car Man. That is supposed to be fast. Yeah.
What are these electric things?
Maybe.
Frones and Uncle, I got some good news to tell you.
What's that?
What is it?
There's going to be a new addition to the Wu-Tang family. I'm buying another one.
Another Moose?
A new Mustang, is it?
Yeah, 84, and I'm trading Bang Bus for another one.
So you're collecting them out.
Uncle, you come to Ohio, bro. I'll take your ride. And all women love the Wooston and Cooley Digital.
There you have it.
Just a quit, just like you.
Indeed. Too legit to quit. We won't do it. No matter what the connection is, we're fine. We're still going. I think Clive from Landers is going to work for the Revolution. I assume everybody on this call will probably be able to call in New Year's Eve. Is that Travis? What, do you think you'll be calling in New Year's Eve for Uncle's New Year's Revolution this year?
Yes.
Good. What we want, what we'd like to get is you to call in, and everybody else, obviously, but tell us what you're doing on New Year's Eve. We want to know where you are, what you're doing, what you're drinking. That's something you plan on doing, right, Travis?
Yeah, I'm probably going to be drinking. I'm probably going to be drinking Fireball.
Baby bottle?
Fireball.
All right. Well, whatever it is, we want to know what it is. And, yeah, call New Year's Eve. Let's see. We're starting your time zone. We're starting at 11 p.m. And we'll be going all the way through, I think, 3 a.m. So stay up and call late if you want. Call late if you want. I mean, cool. I'm sure we'll hear from you that night, right? You'll be there.
Guarantee you. After I put the young in the bed.
Well, it's convenient that we're going so late then. That's good.
Yeah, I know. I'll be here handling the broadcast all the way up until just a little after 3 a.m. Eastern because we gotta say Happy New Year to the Pacific time zone. That's the way that goes.
Yeah, that
is Hawaii in the Pacific time zone?
No, further out. Yeah, further man. Out.
We leave
like
Hawaii
in 3 more hours out.
Like, sorry, Hawaii. They're, not going to happen.
They're a volcano anyway. What are you going to do?
They're in their own world.
Chuck?
What's that?
How you been, bro?
Well, you know what? It's a comedy hour, so I don't want to talk about it. That's all I'm doing.
You know how you've been rapping and stepping like all of us.
I wish that's what I was doing. I tell you, but we'll just leave it at that. Leave it to everybody's imagination.
You know what they said,
bro. Yeah.
Something ain't easy.
No, it ain't.
Any Christmas presents under the tree, Chuck?
You know what? There's a couple things for Frankie, so I'm grateful. That's that. I'm happy. You know. So good enough. What can you do?
What do you guys drink for New Year?
Is there a special drink for you and Uncle this year or no?
There's
one drink I'm interested in, but we're looking for it. I don't know called, Chuck, sidekick.
Well,
what was it? It was on a sign going up, coming up. I was going up there. See the sign of it?
Yes, there is a distillery in Joshua Tree that makes tequila, and I just thought it would be, I thought it would be apropos, live from Landers, to drink Joshua Tree tequila. It would be good. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'd like to try. Something at least.
I don't think that would be a good idea. You know what they say when you drink tequila, don't you?
What do they say?
They wear you out.
You drink tequila and then your clothes fall off, bro.
Oh, no.
running naked in the desert.
I'll spare everybody. I wouldn't do that to everybody, even if I was. I don't think I would. I don't think. I try not to. Even with the tequila, I think I'd be able to resist temptation. I want to believe that, but I mean, what do I know? I haven't had tequila tonight, so I don't know the answer to that.
I can't imagine this guy doing it. Him going around. Won't know how he'll feel the next morning, though.
I do have a question. I do have a question for everybody, though, since somebody brought up getting naked with tequila, because the first time that I sat there and shared three bottles with a friend, You know, that is how my night ended up. I ended up with no clothes on the next morning, but I thought that was maybe just me. But
covered up,
no, dude, I was on somebody. I was on somebody's roof. Okay, it was really weird. It was a weird night. But the thing is that I was curious if other people have had this trouble where I don't know, you know, if tequila is just the naked booze or not. I mean, is that a thing really? Because that's one thing I don't know. It happened to me.
Coolies claiming. Coolies claiming it. Creative Accident seems to be asking us to have tequila in the chat now. So I mean, hey, I want to have it. I don't want to lose my clothes, but I want to drink tequila. I don't. I think I can leave the.
Is that allowed on Twitch? Wait. Is full frontal nudity allowed on Twitch?
Well, again, it's been cold up here, and people watching the live stream will see I'm wearing a beanie hat and a jacket because it's cold. So we have that going for us. Landers is cold.
Oh, I thought you were just saying
more difficult.
See, I just thought you were saying it's cold up there because you were making excuses in advance in case you do take off your clothes. But the thing is,
you're doing a Tim Pool expression.
Comedy.
It's the comedy hour.
This is what you call a comedy show. I know. This is why you get me, you're getting something for something.
I have my tequila that I bought last year for New Year's. I have still have some left.
There we go.
Hopefully I can get crazy Bobcat to come. I'm hoping to have him on.
Oh, Bumwine Bob.
He gives us new drinks every year.
Did you see Bumwine Bob posted about it?
Yeah, we were just on Bob's show. Yeah, we were just on his show, Bumming with Bobcat. The episode is posted. Go check it out. And hopefully Bob will be able to come on. Yeah. Bob posted his episode of Bumming with Bobcat that featured us. We were drinking the Cold Snack Montucky beer. So listen to that, everybody. And hopefully he'll be able to call in on New Year's Eve for Uncle's New Year's Revolution. He said he's going to try to. So we'll see.
Hey, has anybody ever tried that new Mountain Dew? I guess there was alcohol in it.
Does it? Seriously?
There's a Mountain Dew with alcohol in it?
Really?
I didn't know that.
I would like to find it then. All right, so I take something to look for.
You know what, Uncle? When I went to Pennsylvania last, they're making these slushies at carryouts that have alcohol mixed in them. Usually, like these malt liquors, they'll mix with like this weird slushy mix. And they're serving those. And Travis talking about Mountain Dew alcohol makes me think of that.
What's that story
similar.
You're saying? Sorry.
It's just weird. It's places you buy beer in Pennsylvania, which are hard to come by in the first place. But for now for some reason they're serving alcoholic slushies. I don't know how they went to that from having hardly any
alcohol.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, I know how they went to that. Because during the pandemic, people couldn't go out. So they were getting a lot of things delivered at home, and they kept requesting, can you send booze to the house? So they created the alcoholic slushy so that this way your DoorDash person or whatever would have time to get your drink, and it would still be cold. That's why.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I want to try this alcoholic Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Put me on the background.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah, well.
Moonshine Jolly Rancher with Jolly Ranchers in it. 110 proof and knock your socks off.
That'll get the Wu-Tang trucking away.
Yeah.
I'll fire it up for you.
This
have that for the revolution, Billy. Drink that. That'd be good.
Yeah, have you ever tried peyote, Aaron?
No, I haven't. However, there is a cactus we have in our yard that's very similar in its psychoactive properties that if I were so inclined, I could take that. But it seems like too much work, honestly, because I think it lasts a couple of days. It sounds horrible, honestly. I don't want to deal with all that. So maybe sometime, but I haven't yet. I don't know.
That'd be a real experience. No, yeah. I never have myself. Chuck kind of feels like the guy who might have dabbled in a little peyote.
Yes, sir.
There we go. Guilty.
No, that was purple mica dot.
You got any interesting stories around that, Chuck?
Stronger from last week. I got to say, this seems stronger, better than last week.
You weren't on last week.
Oh, the showing. Though. Yeah, we weren't here last week. Robin's right.
Last time. You mean,
the week that we were.
2 weeks ago.
Keep a track.
What week was that? 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. It seems like better. Sounding better.
Yeah. There are a lot of people on Twitch right now in the chat. Yeah.
What is the chat doing in there?
Tell you what, Robin, on a Friday night, if somebody reminds me on a Friday night show, I'll tell the best peyote story ever from Arizona, and
I'll call in for that one.
Yeah, because I ended up with a bunch of Native Americans and had a long conversation with their medicine man and all that, and yep, it's a good one.
That's cool.
It's a good one, but I'll do that on my show.
You would find out or was it?
What's that?
I said you was playing doctor, wasn't you?
No, I did not intend to at all, and I didn't wind up doctoring anybody except myself. It was an interesting, what seemed like many days, but was only actually one day.
The old time travel.
That's why the thought of like it actually lasting a couple days sounds horrible to me. I cannot imagine what that would be like. Sounds horrible. That's all I gotta say.
Well, at a certain point, you can take control, Aaron. You know, you don't have to. It's not like something else where you lose control to it. If you're familiar, so. You can take control at a certain point and function. I mean, it's not, it's not impossible after that. Even if you do have something that's like I think I know what cactus you're talking about.
You can mention its name if you want, Chuck. It's a very common cactus in cultivation.
Yeah, it's really weird that it's so very common and a lot of people it's just little known. I can't remember the name of it actually,
Is it San Pedro?
Robin. It's a San Pedro cactus. Also, Trichocereus pecanoi is the Latin name of it. Yes, but it's a San Pedro cactus. Yep. Very common in cultivation. Nice looking cactus. Gets real good flowers. You can also has psychoactive properties.
Makes a wonderful tea. For that. Makes a wonderful tea.
You like a pickle? Okay.
I don't know about that. Maybe. Like.
Yeah.
We have plenty of them.
Uncle, have you ever stepped on a cactus?
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, I got stung. Come on, my neck. Poked on sucks.
You got poked? Yeah, I saw you guys were making your fence there. That's some good footage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Robin was watching.
I got him started. You got the video that we did.
That's the Instagram video we did.
That was on
the Instagram.
Yeah. How you like? Have you got? Hui, did you hear? Did you see that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, you did see that. That I was trying to explain about the cement and how it's going into the hole.
So, it's good. I haven't done that in a while. I needed a refresher.
They did a little. You needed a refresher. Well, you got one there to go over if you want to see it.
Everybody Travis should. Travis. Yeah. Well, what's happening over there? You on Instagram right now? Maybe.
Yeah. What's happening?
I don't have Instagram. Facebook. I got.
Well, I saw you posted Facebook, it on YouTube too, Aaron. The YouTube blog.
I did. I did a repost.
We got on YouTube.
But anybody,
you can see.
Uncle, anybody that has Instagram needs to follow your Instagram at Uncle Podcast. Then they can watch these stories.
That's what I was going to say was whoever's got that for them, they can listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoever
get on there.
Instagram. I mean,
especially if you're planning on building a fence.
Yeah, exactly. You can learn from Uncle how to build fences.
They'll teach you something.
You'll learn.
They'll teach you something how to do it.
What you do?
Because I'm his half brain when I'm out there with him.
Half of a brain.
Because I tell you, you don't have the other half.
I know. No, you're right.
See, I should have called you guys.
I should have
called Uncle. I should have called Uncle when I was having trouble putting my mailbox down, right? Because you guys could have helped me with putting a post up, right?
Mm. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
That too.
Yes.
Okay. That post, you would have to. How wide was that post you had? Chuck, talking now.
Oh, it was two small posts. It was two small posts to put the mailbox in because I didn't have a mailbox when I got to this address. And it was like, okay,
so
you got
to
put it in yourself.
So you had to make two holes?
Yeah.
Dining, you had to make two holes for the poles, and then they would stand that to the wood and to the other side wood. And then you just cement it down, and then from there, hammer the mailbox to the wood.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do a DIY series for that, Uncle. We will. On Instagram, of course.
Do you have a mailbox in Landers?
Fine.
We do.
We
have a mailbox.
They have to go up the street. They have to go up the street.
Oh,
and
in
front of you, check
one?
The mail. When you come back.
Oh, and they did solve that problem of them stealing your mailbox, too, right?
Yeah, is that in Landers where that was happening?
The mailbox thing.
Orange.
That was
both. Both places. We were getting mail.
Oh, yes. That's right. Both places. That's right.
Both places had
that problem. I mean,
we did.
They can't even find out what is in their mailbox. Fact. They had a woman ripping this mailbox out, and they're tuning it out. They turned the key, and it broke. I mean, that mailbox out there.
Somebody broke the key on the mailbox.
Ripped the mailbox out. The one they're carrying, so they're carrying the mail key. I don't know what that mail key for. If you have it all being carried up.
Our mail key is fine. Yeah, mail generally speaking tends to get stolen.
Mail to the mailbox.
We got goofballs. There's those goofballs in the neighborhood, Uncle, that follow the delivery trucks and just pick up a delivery trucks and drop off. Man. I know about them, right? They do that.
I never thought about that. Follow the truck.
See, I thought they only...
They follow the mailbox key truck, like he said, and they go, he's gone. Get the key.
See, I thought they only did that to UPS drivers and FedEx drivers. They do that to regular mail carriers out there?
That too.
Oh, that too? That
they do it to all of them.
Okay.
They do it
to all of them. They do all of them.
They'll do it to all of them.
But what it is, but the strange part of it is, if a cop sees them in action, they get arrested. They would get arrested on the spot.
Big time.
So I need to come and bring the rest.
Phone call.
Hold on. Yeah, you need to do some vigilante justice.
Who?
Yeah, new call. Call.
Where you from?
Hey, Chris. I get it. Chris from America. Right. Can you hear me?
Hey, Chrissy. Yeah, there's what is this, my fourth caller? I'm gotten up there.
Oh, beyond that.
I've been trying to get Sergeant Slaughter for you guys, for Uncle here.
Oh, yeah, how's he doing? Oh, yeah.
Well, he hasn't gotten back to me yet, so he's not doing too good.
Yes.
Hey, Chris,
hey,
in case...
Hey, Uncle, have you...
Yeah.
In case anybody missed it, Chris.
Chris, sorry.
Chris recently got. Actually, it's really getting a lot of downloads right now. He got Brian O'Halloran on Get Mad on a special day. And in case that name doesn't ring a bell with people, if you ever saw the movie Clerks, he's the guy who plays Dante Hicks. Who I'm not even supposed to be here today. That guy was on Get cool. Mad with Chris Graves on Friday. So,
I was just referencing the part where he talks about the girlfriend who has 37.
37?
37.
37. There's no way to cleanly explain that, but yeah, funny scene.
Oh, wow.
My favorite part of that whole thing is he goes, 36? And she goes, well, does that include me? And she goes, okay, 37.
Something like 37.
Yeah.
And he goes, try not to do you know what on your way across the parking lot.
Hey, Uncle, come back here. This guy goes and follows her, yeah.
Have you seen Clerks, Uncle?
No. But I can understand what they'd be
flashing.
You
gotta watch that one.
Yeah, you got
it. Hey, Uncle, have you ever heard of Jay and Silent Bob?
Jay and Bob.
Or Jay and Silent Bob.
No, I haven't seen that one.
No, then none of this means anything then.
Oh, you got it.
Anyway.
Yeah, Aaron, you gotta show Uncle the Kevin Smith universe a little bit.
Yes, we could do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like yeah, I know Uncle doesn't.
he sounds thrilled.
Well,
I gotta see the film of the shows. Then I can get what you guys have seen.
I just
gotta get on them. And,
I think Uncle would like Dogma.
Him.
He might, but I don't know. He might get mad at it, though. You know?
Yeah, he might. Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Get mad with Chris Graves.
I can't even stand up. I an idea of what
my
callers are talking about.
Hold on. I want to hear what Jimmy has to say. It sounds important.
Remember the Buddy Christ?
Uncle,
go ahead.
Let's
Jimmy James.
Let's hear what Jimmy has to say. It sounds important.
Jimmy,
what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't think Uncle would enjoy that series. Any more than I enjoy, I can't get into that American Pie movie crap either. It's just a generational thing.
Yeah, but I think he would enjoy the Clerks cartoons, and I think he might enjoy like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and stuff like that. I mean, if Aaron selected a couple things and also showed him Clerks, he might think it's funny. Those things, but some of it, maybe not. You know, I mean, it is a lot of it is very generational for sure. But I think he could get into the cartoons, definitely.
Oh yeah, I can get into those. I can get into Laughing Joe.
Mm. Now, Dogma, you should probably laugh at.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I think Dogma he might not find funny because, you know, Alanis Morissette plays God, you know? And I don't know if he would dig that or if he would like
it. No, but George Carlin's in it. I brought it up before.
I know,
guys.
But
remember
what,
George Carlin plays yes, Cardinal.
But that's the thing.
With
is
the
that
Buddy Christ?
Yeah, he might not be happy with George Carlin in there, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is Uncle a devout Catholic?
We say Uncle.
Yeah, but Kevin's not making fun of it. He's actually celebrating his Catholicism.
I understand what Kevin's intent is, I also understand that some people would get angry at that because it's like, oh, you're, you know, making fun of things. Which
he's not, though.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I know that, Chris.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I know, but if people think about it, he's not making fun of it.
Yeah, I understand that, but you try and argue that.
I know, Chuck. You try. I understand what you're doing right now.
Like,
I get it.
Like you remember, that mutual friend we had who you couldn't have this discussion with at all because he was a real jerk.
The one that took my freedom away from.
Yeah, that guy.
Exactly
yeah,
exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. Now try and say something
to
him.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? True. It's like oof. And Uncle's not even like intense like that. It's just a matter of Uncle's not a jerk.
I get you now. Yeah. I see.
I'm more like an action man.
Yeah, he likes action and stuff.
But do you like Jason and Friday the 13th, Uncle?
I like the Friday the 13th.
I just interviewed the guy who put him in space. Jason in space.
Went in space. No. The writer of that, Todd Farmer,
just had him on too.
Yeah, Jason X.
Oh, the writer.
Anyways,
yeah. He's in the movie too.
Quick organizational thing because we got a lot of chaos here. Aaron
got me into that show.
Down to about 6 minutes here. With all the people on the line, I figure you want to get through, let everybody get a shout out before they go, because you got Travis Cooley, Jimmy James, Chris, and Robin all together. So Uncle got like 5 calls to your actual 0 because your only caller was Uncle. So there you go.
He had no callers.
Remember, Uncle's called the caller too. Remember?
Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yes.
Uncle,
Look, we only have time to finish the show with shout outs, so let's just do that, Uncle.
Right then, who was our first caller? We'll go from there.
There we go. Yeah, the first caller, I believe, was Cooley.
All right, Cooley, we'll go to Cooley. Go now.
There you go.
I want to say Merry Christmas. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And keep rocking on.
Happy New Year, sure.
Yeah, especially if
don't get overloaded. Don't get overloaded. You've got to say that.
Thanks for nothing, boys.
All right. Thanks, Cooley. Thank you for calling in. We hope to hear from you on the Revolution on New Year's Eve. All right.
Then next was Travis.
We go next is Travis, correct? So Travis, who do you want to shout out to on tonight's show? Who you a shout out for?
You guys have a Merry Christmas, and I'll see and talk to you guys on the New Year's Revolution.
Awesome. Thank you, Travis. I appreciate that very much. Let's see here. The next shout out, I think, was Robin called in next. I'm not mistaken. We'll go to Robin. We got a shout out for Robin.
I'll shout out to Twitter because it's a wild world there these days.
Indeed. Electric Man is really
Electric Man's
at the helm
wild.
And he's going crazy with that thing. I don't know if I love it or hate it yet.
I think he might be short-circuiting. Possibility. He's been standing in water too long. Well, I just saw I saw on Twitter that he's been hanging out with Jared Kushner, and some Qatari royals. So that's always a good sign.
I'm excited. Great developments.
The next chapter of the Musk Chronicles.
Oh, yeah, the Musk thing. I'm still wondering about him. How is he
We'll get into that on the Revolution, Uncle. There's lots to talk about.
That's right.
Talk about that.
You guys have a good night. We'll talk to you. Talk to you then.
Take care, Robin. Thanks for everything.
So there goes Robin. And then that brings us to Jimmy James.
Jimmy James. Right. Who you got a shout out for, Jimmy?
Oh, shout out to Chris Farley. He died way too young, 25 years ago, earlier this week. God bless.
All right. Sounds good, Jimmy. Thanks for calling, and I'm sure we'll hear from you on New Year's Eve, too.
Until then, take care, man. Great to hear from you from all, as always. Then we've got, I think the only one left is Chris Graves.
That's it.
I believe. All right. Yeah, so, Chris, who are you showing up to tonight, man?
And that too.
Well, I had something else with when Jimmy just said that. Yeah, that's a big reminder. Chris Farley, I've been I'm trying to work something out where I'm going to possibly have his older brother that wrote the book, The Chris Farley Show, on my podcast, hopefully, sooner rather than later. But I just wanted to tell everyone that Candyman and Beetlejuice were not actually cousins or related at all, and that Beetlejuice was based on a true story. You gentlemen have a good night.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. All right.
There you go.
Interesting factoids, Uncle.
The unique parting comments from Mr. Graves.
As always.
Okay. Who else on the channel? Let's see. Chuck?
It's just you and me, Uncle. And Chuck.
If Uncle wants to let me have one, I'll take it. A big shout out.
Zanzi, he's the one doing all the work on that.
Appreciate it. Big shout out, Chuck.
Go for it.
Big shout out to everybody who is listening tonight, but also make a note that we will not be live on the 25th. We, as in me and Aaron and Uncle together, but Chris Graves is going to do a special that night, and we're going to be playing a few more holiday oriented things on the stream. You might have noticed a couple of things being introduced so far. So shout out to you guys. I appreciate everything. And we're going to do the Revolution on the 31st. So you're going to want to tune in for that. But no show on Christmas for Aaron and Uncle. That week, it'll be on a Saturday that we're going to get together on the 31st. Okay? So I just want to give the programming note there and remind people that at all times, and especially, honestly, at this time, it is good to look out for your neighbors, take care of the people that are having trouble taking care of themselves, and there are plenty of them around you, whether you see them or not, and that's the way it is. It's not always about money or gifts or whatever, but sometimes it's about a random act of kindness that you might be able to visit upon somebody and make your world around you better by making the people around you better, and it could be just as simple as listening to somebody. Keep that in mind. And, you know, all the support that I've gotten from you guys over the years, I appreciate it. And as per usual, I'm getting squeezed just like everybody else. I know it. And, you know, I appreciate all you guys. And I'm really, really grateful and proud to have been part of the Aaron Franz and Uncle universe now for this will be year number 5, people. And I really appreciate it that you guys included me in this wonderful thing. I was listening to Trans Resistor Radio and Uncle the podcast a little bit before I joined it, and it's a really great thing, and I just want to say thanks to Aaron and Uncle for including me, and thanks to you guys, the listeners out there, for that as well. There you go. That's my shout-out.
Okay. Well, give a shout-out back to you, Chuck. Thank you for being our producer, for everything you've done for us, for producing The Revolution all these years. Done a lot here and made the show what it is currently. And I'll shout out to Robin. He's helping us out a bit with the Live from Landers production this year. Shout out to Chris. And I'll second the Christmas show. Everybody listen to the Christmas show on the Ocelli Radio Network, Chris's show there. That's exciting. So we got some exciting Ocelli Radio Network holiday specials, I guess. We've got the Chris Graves Christmas one, and then we've got Uncle's New Year's Revolution. So that's pretty cool, actually. That's really exciting. Uncle, do you got shout-outs?
Got a shout-out, just what he was saying. And a shout-out to my very good producer with having what he have done from the beginning. I'm giving him the shout out because he had done most of this hard work that Sidekick and him put together. And that's the shout out that I'm giving Ocelli. And everybody else that called, all of you that have my callers haven't given you all a shout out to who called and who's listening on the line and out of the United States, four shout outs to y'all. And all have a very Merry Christmas. There you go.
All right. Well, that does it for this show, Uncle. Why don't you bring it home for the night? It's UncleThePodcast.com is all you have to know otherwise. But bring us on home.
This our show, 273, is done. Bye-bye.